Hi, I'm Ashley, and you are listening and watching Confidence in Coffee. What if I was to tell you that you can find confidence despite any of your circumstances, good or bad? I'm going to help you navigate the waters of womanhood, whatever season that is in, whether it's marriage, singleness, or you're drowning in children. I'm going to help you find confidence and hope through Christ. I'm going to leave you with plenty of encouragement and practical tips to overcome those limiting beliefs so you can live a life well. Plus, you know we're going to find a few laughs along the way. So grab your favorite cup of coffee and join me as we chat confidence and coffee. Listen, my beautiful friends, I am here with my friend Tamara, and she is phenomenal. We just want to have a conversation together. She is an author, a podcast host, and she is all over social media. She is just contagious. And what I describe and what she is just joyful. She makes everyone around her smile. And I was like, you know what? We're just going to press the record button and just continue to have this a really great conversation that we're having and the chemistry and the connection that we have. But Tamara knows that I want to pray, and she's going to join me in praying with you guys just to receive what you're supposed to in this conversation, and that it also brings you joy and value to your life and confidence.
Yes, so, all the above. Let's do it.
So I'm going to do a little something a little different, Tamara. Well, it's not that different. but I would love for you to just really start us off in prayer. Is that okay?
Because I'd be honored.
I just feel really good about this conversation. I feel like it's going to be super impactful. And it's the message that God gave you, right? So would you?
Let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. God, we just come to you so much gratitude. We just come to you with excitement and anticipation, Lord, that we are able to come together through the airwaves of the world that have been created and sustained by you and through you, Lord, that we get to spread your good news, to spread your joy, and to do so in the neighborhoods and the homes and the houses and the nations that are going to be listening to this, God. And so I just pray blessing. I pray blessing over Ashley and everything that is connected to her ministry and the way that she serves. I pray over this podcast that it would continue to just be amplified and that more and more people would come to know you through it. God, I thank you for this specific time, that it's been preordained and sustained by you, that you are the Alpha and the Omega to our conversations, to our relationships, and to the kingdom, God. And so we just thank you that we get to be connected as sisters. We get to be authentically us, and that authenticity is a representation to who you are. And I just hope that it calls other women into their own vulnerability, into their own testimony, and to stand on top of it without shame, and to stand in their joy every single day, no matter what their every single day currently looks like, whether it's in a valley or whether it's on a mountaintop. God, we know that you are there. And so we just praise you for that. And we thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, that was so beautiful. And I'm not like a weird person, but I definitely feel the presence of the Lord.
Yes. So
I am in love with you. It's really funny because before Ashley got on TikTok and decided to make reels, we were following each other.
Yep.
And so it's just like, we have like this little bit of like this intimacy of watching each other grow and publish books and all the things, which I'm not there yet. So I just want to sponge into her and just be like, what's going to happen? I have no idea.
but that's the cool part about it, right? Because no one is anywhere. I think a lot of times people are like, oh, you're this far ahead or you've done this differentiating element. But what's really cool is like the way that God created your mission to unfold is uniquely designed to you. And that allows me as a sister to celebrate you and to not have that air of competition, right? And to say, let's do it, Lord. Like, let's do it together because I can't touch everyone. There's 7 billion people in the world. Yeah. And so we've got all these influencers. We've got all these people who are like, oh, I've got this many followers, or I just had 1 million views. And like at the end of the day, I've been in Isaiah 6 this week. And if you actually look to the Great Commission of Isaiah and when he says, here I am, send me, the Lord actually sends him into a place of unfollow me. He literally is pushing people out of the land of milk and honey and saying, everyone's got to go because God's got to do a new thing. And so when we're in this space, even though we're sharing our faith and there might be fellowship and there might be people who are into it, there's a lot of people who are unfollowing us. And I want to celebrate those people just as much as I want to celebrate the person who's right next to me in my community.
Yeah. This is why I love her. Honestly, like, and you touched on something really great. It is not about competition, right? Yeah. The reality is God calls us. It's not competition. It's calling. Yeah. And we all have a purpose in that. And the power that is available when we can celebrate each other is phenomenal. It honestly makes me emotional because, I'm not like a labely person, but, have you heard, of the Enneagram or whatever?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm a three.
There's I am label. Too.
That doesn't surprise me.
That makes so much sense. Okay. So I'm not threatened by anybody. I don't even know like that concept. Like if I want to be like somebody, I'm going to admit like, man, if I could just be like her and it not really cause any bitterness or resentment.
Right.
And so just to see you always brings like a smile to my face. And the book, and you're writing another book, which we just talked about, by the way, it's called The Joyful Entrepreneur. It's coming out, in November.
Yeah. And it'll be out in October actually. So it's out when this show is live and then we're having our book launch party in November. So super fun. And we look to it as a resource as much as it is just like a fun read. There's 20 other authors that are a part of it who are all operating in joy as entrepreneurs. And that's like so rare that those words don't generally go together. We think of hustle hard. We think of grind. We think of overwhelm. We think of the busy. We think of maybe entrepreneurship from a glorified perspective when it's actually, I think, some of the most like, hits the most chasm elements of life because it is hard work. And we don't want to create a masked identity to entrepreneurship by saying that we're joyful entrepreneurs. We want to be raw and real and tell you about the testimonies that are connected to us being in joy. Because mine, from my book, which you can read all the grimy details, it's hard. And it came from a place of where I felt like and was also suicidal, but felt like dying.
Oh my gosh. I relate, but I also can't imagine in that, like what that is like in the transparency in that. And so do you talk a little bit about that? Like in your book now?
I do. I do. Yeah. So Always Becoming is the other book and the title kind of gives a lot of it away, which is Sex, Shame, and Love. Love is the capital. Love is the cursive for all the reasons that is our Father in heaven who came and redeemed those areas of hardship for me. And it's not often a conversation that women are having. And so I'm totally in to dive into it, even in this conversation, because I don't want anyone to carry shame connected to their sexuality, connected to their femininity, connected to the things that they've done, the people that they've been with, the things that they shouldn't have said or done or thought, even in this moment, even after being redeemed, because we know that our minds and our flesh are constantly in construct and that it's constantly in conflict with our spirit man. That's why we have to renew our mind every single day. Yeah. Right. And so I'm totally open to any questions you have.
Yeah. So, and that's another thing too, I want to touch on. This is dying. This is poison. Yep. And that's why it's constantly wrestling and in conflict. And, you know, and I believe that we are waking up, and I try to use that word carefully. And I know that you've noticed, you're like all over social media, that we are in a culture where people are just like, this is surface. And what I have found in listening to other women is there's a lot of trust issues. People want authenticity. They want real. And it's not talked about. I mean, the fact that you came out like that immediately is powerful. And it's amazing. And like, it doesn't affect your identity struggling with those things.
No,
and I think mix those things up a little bit. Like Have you noticed that? And if you, and I would love, love, love for you to touch on that. And I believe it's also like a little bit in your book where we talk about like, there is the culture aspect of like, we're mixing in these issues with who we are. And so as a Christian, we don't want to talk about those things because we're supposed to be perfect. We're supposed to be all together. We're not supposed to feel, we're not supposed to struggle with depression and suicidal thoughts and lust and confusion in our sexuality. We're not supposed to. So then guess what? That gives us a place of isolation. When in reality, God's like, I don't change. I live within you. Like your confidence isn't based off circumstance. You know, like it's good to feel. Jesus felt, Jesus wept. I try to like, I encourage people in that, like, yo, like it's feeling. It doesn't take away from your worth.
Right. So, and your emotions are actually really important, critical elements to the intelligence of what's the next action, right? Like this is the element of emotional intelligence connected to how are you reacting quickly? What are those reactions looking like versus being able to sit with self, understanding and dissecting, communicating with your own emotions and then responding. So reaction versus response is so powerful in the way that we show up as women because we often will shame ourselves or people will shame us into, oh, they're so emotional, or oh, we're on our period this week, so stay away from so and so, right? Or we put these like these phrased taglines, she's a crybaby, she's such a sissy, right? Like these words are actually really painful towards us living out our full identities as emotional beings that God gifted us to be. And that's why I have a course called Fierce Femininity. And it literally is like, let's actually harbor those emotions, understand them, and then present them in a way that creates us as the warriors, as the Esthers that we are. Mm. That if Esther didn't have her emotion, she would have never done the thing that she did. Yeah. And guys generally don't even think or consider those pieces because they're just going off of, you know, what is the right next step to do, right? And they're just doing it based on whim sometimes, but not based on emotion. And so there's a huge difference. And I want us to own that as why we are as beautiful as we are.
Yeah. Emotions are good. And we're afraid of them. And, you know, like people are afraid, like we're not supposed to. And I think that, and maybe you touch on that a little bit. I also don't think it's culture, but maybe a little bit of childhood trauma.
Oh,
like,
for I think, sure.
Like, would you, I don't know if you've experienced this, but like when you're a child, the way we grew up, your feelings aren't valid. Like,
doesn't ask to be the good girl. You're not like, no crying if you're a boy, no crying in baseball, right? It's like, these are the rules that are literally like put over top of us. And so it's a huge way that my husband and I parent now is if our son or our daughter, and it's such a joy to be able to have both and be able to understand and navigate emotions with them and to raise them in the way that their emotions are actually a weapon and in a good way. And so for them to be able to understand why they feel that way, and then for us to be able to activate thereafter versus let's suppress it and call you to do the thing that is actually the antithesis of how you feel, right? Stop crying, go in there and do it anyway. Stop crying and get in and play the sport. You know, stop crying and get to school. You got to go. It's not a choice.
Yeah.
You know, and why frustrate and conflict what is already a huge conflict in that little child. And so childhood trauma for me was massive. And I'll be honest, Ashley, a part of my shame story was connected to abuse, a childhood sexual abuse that occurred when I was 3. And it was something that I had suppressed so much. There's actually like a clinical suppression mechanism that we as children do in order to be able to operate. And so I literally did not remember these memories. I'm 29 years old at this point. I'm having what I call my quarter life crisis, my tombstone moment. I am about to lose it all based on actions, based on integrity, based on my marriage and my motherhood journey at the time. I was running 2 different businesses as a CEO. And so I was working 70 hours a week. Talk about hustle hard. Talk about wearing a mask. Talk about operating in my Enneagram 3 in the most negative places ever, right?
I always tell people,
freaking good at that part.
Okay, listen to this, girl. Like, I literally was about to do that. Like, That's where I thought, because I always tell people this, that if I didn't have Jesus, I'd probably be a narcissist.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I've lived it. So I'm right there.
Man, I'm so sorry. Like, well, I know you're like victorious and like you're not in that shame anymore, but oh my gosh, that's where it starts.
Uh-huh. And this is the thing. Like, this is where a lot of people don't realize that there are those root elements. Because if you had asked me when I was 29, like, what's going on? What's wrong? Why are you acting this way? Why are you utilizing these? I honestly wouldn't have been able to pinpoint it. And it was through therapy, which I'm a huge advocate of mental health, even though I'm a Christian. It was also through an encounter with the Lord in my living room. And so it was a combination effort while also going to a worship school, while also letting go of titles. I mean, it was one of those wrecking ball seasons that had me on my knees in so many ways. And when I realized that every element of not only my childlike years, my adolescent years, my teenage years, my young adult years, even as a young wife and mom, all of these things had cycled to this moment. And that is where I feel like a lot of people who are listening even to this podcast have found themselves. They're in this rat wheel. They're feeling like I have no joy. They're completely starved for actual love. They don't feel seen. They don't feel heard. They are all up in their emotions and they feel completely isolated. And that's why I stand up every single day to speak. That's why I breathe.
Yeah. Always becoming. Like, I love when you are like speaking truth and you talk about justification and just really reflecting like on who you are, because we do see a lot of highlight reel. We see a lot of wins, like from your own personal journey, like really, especially with the cover up, you know, like covering up the shame, like how did you, I mean, honestly, I would love for you to touch on like how you came about that really powerful, vulnerable revelation and how freeing that was. Like how confident, yeah.
I take a deep breath because
I mean, that
I
is
love
like,
the freedom. I love the confidence. It's been cultivated arm in arm, hand in hand, heart in heart with the Lord since that time. Because to me, and I have this conversation connected to my mission statement, which is to obliterate shame and activate purpose, mainly in women, but I definitely have served men in lots of different ways as well. But obliterating shame. And I had a friend ask me, who's a TEDx speaker and motivational coach. He's incredible. His name is Daryl Stinson. He's actually writing the foreword to the Joyful Entrepreneur book. So you'll get to know him a bit. But he said, do you really think that you can obliterate shame? And I sat there for a minute and I was like, hold up. Don't question me. I'm the business coach. I'm the one who sets this mission statement vision. So this is my job. This is what I do. And I processed, right? What's happening? I ended up processing it for almost a week. And I knew the answer immediately was no. On this side of heaven, we are going to face triggers. We're going to face questions where you feel like, I got to take a deep breath to answer that one. And shame is going to try and creep back in, because that is the enemy's tactic of lying. It's also our inability, like you said before, from our flesh that is dying. So we're in conflict. But I want so deeply, and it's why I wrote the book, I want people to understand that it is possible. It is possible for us to eradicate shame day by day by day. No different than addiction, right? I've dealt with many different genres of addiction, and so have a lot of other people, but they just say it's drugs and alcohol, and that's not it. There's shopping addictions, there's sex addictions, there's social media addictions, there's suppression, like there's food, absolutely, even fitness, right? Which is what Fit in Faith was originally premised off of, because of the mind and the body piece of what I was doing. I was young and I was capable and I hosted nutrition and physical training exercises. I was a trainer, so I worked in the gym and everything was exteriorly driven. I had the American dream. I had the highlight reel before highlight reels were a thing. And yet I was depraved of love. I was depraved of intimacy. I actually didn't even know how to communicate with my own husband at that time. And no one would have known that. I didn't really even know it. So when I talk about wearing a mask and I talk about just being happy, it's a revelation that occurs based on a multitude of circumstances where you start to uncover bit by bit what's actually going on and where did this start. And so for me, it was through therapy. Through me, it was through those times of just being in church before the Lord and hearing other people actually be vulnerable for the very first time. I had to go to an entire other city for 3 years to go to church because I, first off, couldn't stand the white American, hands in pocket, hymnal. We just smile and say hello and hug each other every day. There was no tears, no altar calls. Worship was a worship concert, not a worship experience where you are worshiping.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
So I just had to bear all. I had to get to the place, even with my husband, to say, this is the grime. This is the guts. This is all the things I didn't tell you before we got married. And then in the midst of reading a book that was given to me by my therapist, chapter 3, I remember exactly where I was. I fell to my knees when I had the revelation and the remembrance of all of the memories associated to that abuse. That didn't just happen one time. It happened over and over again. The child was actually a man's size, but about 13 years old. He had a mental handicap. So there goes the root element of shame. How does a little girl who everyone already knows this child is handicapped, is it my fault? Did I do this? And how do I even discuss this as an adult? I didn't have words for it. Then I got exposed to pornography very early when I was 6 years old playing hide and seek. And that was always my hiding spot. Then enter AOL dial-up internet. And that was cyber sex world. I mean, 17 magazine, MTV music videos, the list goes on for our generation of women. And so we've been in constant battle towards our sexuality since I was born. And it's still happening every single day.
Yeah.
And so that's really where like a multitude of ways that it was me just bearing my soul and bearing what I know now to be the most beautiful elements of my testimony that are the most broken.
You just unpacked a lot there. And I'm like, okay. So I want to go back a little bit. I actually didn't tell my husband about my full testimony till after we were married too.
Wow.
What was his reaction?
He was on his knees. He was in fetal position. He was unsure, like unsure. How could you not be unsure of your yes? Right. And meanwhile, we have two babies at this point who are 2 and 1. And so he loves me. He loves the idea of me, but he doesn't actually even know me.
Know me.
And I didn't know myself. I really had no idea who I was. No clue. I looked in the mirror. Yeah. I got ready for everyone else. I did everything for everyone else.
You knew what to do. You knew how to fit the mold. And here, yep. I want to go back with that. Cause girl,
this is so good.
That church that you were talking about, you knew the facade because you played the facade.
So true. Oh, that gave me chills. You're so true. So like, right.
And I believe God is using that, something that we used. Like, think about Paul. Like, when I think about your story, I think immediately about Paul because he was a freaking murderer of Christians. He wrote half the, you know, New Testament.
Right?
But like his passion, like, he had this anger, this hate, right? He had this mission. God took the same passion and anger and wisdom and used it for glory. And I think that's what makes the enemy hate God even more so, because God takes that. And I mean, he uses it. Like, we're not talking about shallow testimony, glory to God, transformation. We're talking about this was about to kill me. And now it's using to help other people. Right.
And it's so neat that, like, even though entrepreneurship was an element of that, and I get to help other people like start businesses, I do it only premised on their testimony. So people come all the time with good ideas, and I'm like, but where's God in that? And I will not partner with people who are in a place of just saying, this is a good idea and I want to make money. That I can start that business. I could 100% do it. I did 100%. It over and over and over again in my 20s. I refuse. I'm like, where's the kingdom? How are you supporting the kingdom? How are we together in this? Because if I'm partnering with you, my team is connected to this. Our mission is connected to this. We want to see you thrive. We want to see you survive. But the only way that's going to happen is if God is getting the glory every single minute that you open your mouth.
Really getting the glory.
Yeah.
you
not
know
just this, that. Amen.
You know this industry. And you know that, like, we people use God, but really it's about themselves. Mm-hmm. It's a profound to them. It reflects on them. The agenda is to make money, and they use the whole God card. And that's, it's dangerous. Like, you'll probably get the money and the popularity. I mean, I have been presented with the test.
For sure.
And the reality is I would rather be unpopular and glorify God and stand before him when the time comes, because it's coming.
Yep.
And for him to tell me that I used my platform and everything that I was, all my testimony, to glorify him, to bring others to his transformation and not to myself.
Unfollow me, Ashley. Unfollow me. I'm in. And this is where people need to hear, like, really loud and clear, that the element of me sharing my testimony, sharing those shame elements, was so hard. When I released this book, and you're going to have this moment here soon, where that morning I was, of course, excited. Like, I woke up like, today's the day, it's coming out. And I was on Clubhouse at the moment. It was 5 a.m. and they were like, Tamara, today's your book day. Like, tell us how you feel. And even years after, and us even starting this conversation connected to emotions and my own awareness, I hadn't actually processed, how do I feel? It was 3 years in the making. Every single writing retreat that I took, I was a bawling mess because I was in the process of healing as I was writing it, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't release it until God told me it is finished. And I felt like I was going to be completely sound. Not only individually, my business would be sound, but my marriage was solid. And no one, anyone said, as I shared our story, was going to affect the love that we had established, the communication that we had established, and God's literal angel armies around us, because this home, this foundation matters more than any book sale, more than any business growth. I do not care.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if only one person bought the book, which wasn't the case, but if that was the case, that book was me, that was enough. God got so much work done through me by writing my story.
And you've kept that mission. Like, it is so important, like, to keep, be aware of that. I believe that's where God's like, be aware, be on guard. Like, watch out for the line. Like, he's, you know, the devil, like, that in itself, like, just, this is the mission. And I can relate in the healing aspect. That is, I find vulnerability to be necessary.
Yep.
Not even that, like, beneficial. No, it's a necessity. Like, it really is for you to heal. And going back with your husband, I know I was like, immediately, this is what I want to touch on too. Like, and I want to get on the podcast. I'm just trying to go, you know,
there's so much. I know. I love it.
I love it. Yeah. But, when you were talking about your husband, like, I know for me, like, I was like, immediately, like, what is he going to think? Is he going to love me? That was a revelation for me that, like, oh wow, I care. I have put up a facade, and I didn't even know I put up a facade.
Right.
And I didn't even know that, like, I was people seeking. And here's the thing. I want to touch on that with you, because now that you're aware and you went through this healing process, like, we throw around the word self-sabotage, self-worth, identity, mask. We throw around those words, assuming that these people are aware of these issues when they're not. So I know for me, when I, like, just, I released an episode about self-worth will save your life. I broke down what that meant. I broke down what self-sabotage meant. I broke down being fake, because you don't know. I didn't know I was sabotaging my own life.
So good.
Right? Like, even then, like, and I think, here's the thing on sexuality that you were talking about. Like, when you touched on that, like, again, we have such a similar testimony. And I don't want to make this about me, but culturally, I was so attracted to girls. I was in a lesbian relationship for 3.5 years. And let me tell you something. I was exposed to porn at a really young age, and I was very attracted to females. I'm still, like, I feel that, but I always tell people, because if you don't know who you are, you immediately are like, that's me. I'm gay. I'm a lesbian, whatever. But the reality is you have this Okay. Yep. We all have sexual attraction and exposure. And it could come down to some identity issues, but it, again, with you already with your children, like, hey, this is how you feel. This is your emotion. These are all normal things. You're giving them the ability and like the tools that they need to recognize that rather than we didn't have that. No. So we isolated that.
So good.
Right. And so
absolutely.
I'm like, I go into that community and I'm like, look, like girl porn was for me. That was my outlet. Like, and I was like, I thought that I was full on lesbian, but I knew deep down inside I wasn't. I just felt accepted, approved, like, and I felt safe.
Right. And that safety element is one of the hugest elements that I have found in uncovering those conversations with people who are in juxtaposition with their spirit and their flesh. And they question it every single day. And so if they as an individual entity have that conflict, that goes to show me that there's something more, to do with society of what is righteous and what is flesh driven. And what is conviction and surrender and what is not. And so I think that it's so valuable to have these open conversations where people can see themselves in it and they can raise their hand to say, oh yeah, I did that. I mean, I was making out with girls in college just for show. It was to show, but I liked it. I didn't dislike it, but it was so crazy to think back on those scenarios that were ultimately connected to those porn magazines, that original sex and shame scenario.
And people don't know that. They don't know that it's connected to that.
No, they don't. They really don't. And of course, women are beautiful. Like, we're meant to be beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's literally an element that's been completely thrown back in our face as a way and a play in which we're supposed to show up as, and that's it. And yet we are been diminished over and over again, but it goes back to the heart of what you're saying, to safety, because safety is why we are supposed to run to our Father. And we live in a fatherless nation, whether your daddy was in it or not. I had a dad who was in the military, so he was gone a lot of the times. Yeah. And so it's like, I love him. He was amazing. But then he became, as a teenager, completely unconnectable because he then had PTSD. He then had depression. He then has alcoholic issues because of everything he went through in the military. And what does that leave me? Where does that leave me? The only thing that he would tell me all the time, and I'm so conscientious of it for my own daughter, is you're beautiful. And when I was dressed up, you look beautiful. And if beauty is the only thing that we're known for or capable of course, we're going to act out of our flesh to accomplish what it is that we're being called out to do. And so the three things, when I had that encounter in the living room with the Lord that I mentioned earlier, the three things that he said to me before I ever came out to my husband about everything that had transpired prior to, he said, you are fully seen, you are fully known, and the word still, and I still love you, broke me. And I just never thought that I could be fully seen and fully known and still loved. And that is safety. That is knowing. And my husband knows everything about me at this point in my life. He knows when I'm feeling something before I say that I'm feeling it. And now, only because we have done exercises where we sit knee to knee, Ashley, and only one person is allowed to talk for 20 minutes while they tell a childhood trauma story or a story of even joy that the other person has never heard before. You're not allowed to comment. You're not allowed to affirm. You have to go to bed on that silence. And the next day, the next person gets 20 minutes to talk to that person about what they heard. And then the next day, you come together for a back and forth conversation. This was in the midst of turmoil in my life. And so to practice that vulnerability, not just with myself, but with my husband, a person who I wanted deeply to love me. And I did love, but I didn't even know the extent of what love meant.
Right.
Was so raw and real that when I talk on a podcast or I share it with somebody now, I'm like, I can tell you, you want to know it? I'll tell you all the things.
Say all the things.
But I want women to know that there is potential, there is possibility, there is hope, and there is so much safety, even in your spouse potential. Whether your spouse is that person now or not, even in your spouse, because God puts you guys together with purpose. And so I want people to explore what that relationship looks like, shame aside, shame obliterated, so that you can actually fully love and be safe and known in your relationship with your husband.
You're going to write about this in your new book, right?
I sure should. We're doing a marriage retreat next year. And so that's going to be the opening casket of this whole entire thing. And he's ready. He's now ready to help mentor men as well. So it's pretty rad.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Like, do we have a date? Like,
we don't have a date. We don't have a date, but it will be out of the country because we're travel bugs and we love to take people into full cultural change. Yeah, let's go.
So you, with this new book, okay, The Joyful Entrepreneur, you have like 20 authors that are writing stories. Like, Oh my gosh, I am so excited about that. When you told me that, tell me a little bit more about like the concept, because it's a series. Like it's not just one book.
Yeah. So think like chicken soul, like chicken soup for the soul and all of the different elements of that. This is going to be The Joyful Entrepreneur, because that name alone piques curiosity to me because it's so rare. This specific one is about the power, the principles, and the presence of God in our businesses. So it's insider's secrets of business and faith and what it looks like to actually blend and be in our faith-driven entrepreneurship realm, in our mission, and also activate in prosperity connected to our business. So the testimonies are literal resource opportunities for us to say, oh yeah, I'm taking that and applying it. And it's based in questions. So you're not just reading a bunch of chapters. It's like question by question. It's going to really change people's lives because there are crazy stories out there, y'all. This story is, I feel like, just scratching the surface to some of the truth elements. It just scratches the surface to biblical stories, right? My story is no different. My story has, the same amount of shame, more shame, whatever you want to say from a comparison perspective, but they're out there. And I am so honored to stand along people who are willing to be vulnerable and also know that joy stands on the other side of that vulnerability.
Oh my God. It's phenomenal. It's honestly really brilliant. And I know you have a date like in October when that's going to be, right?
Yeah, like, you know it. So that's out October 4th. The book launch party will be in November at the Grow Your Business for God's Sake conference that I host annually.
Yeah, I'm going to probably have to just make
this
episode up.
I agree.
because that, like, not only do I want it selfishly, okay, but I want other women that in its power, principle, I've never heard that. That is his presence. Like, do you know how many people, like, we live in an entrepreneur culture and that's cool.
Yeah.
But like, we just talked about like how he's not present in a lot of this and they use it. But he's not, but people need that. They are deconstructing, reconstructing. They need to know, how do I really, truly like run my business in doing so with the glory of God?
Yeah.
So good.
Well, and you think of all of his principles, like even just the principle of multiplication, which is talked about so many times in Old and New Testament. And people want to be, I think of that song back in the day, I want to be a millionaire so bad, right? I love that song. Me and my brother used to sing it all the time. He's also an entrepreneur. My sister's an entrepreneur. My mom was an entrepreneur. So I've been in this world for a long time. And I think about that, and everyone now, even my children, are like, what does it mean to be rich? Are we rich? And they're processing it, right? Which is fine. But the multiplication factor connected to the Holy Spirit, connected to God, is it is so much more transformational as an individual entity to feel. What if you could experience wealth through the fruits of the Spirit in a multiplication? What if you knew love in a multiplied element than where you are now? What if you knew goodness, multiplied goodness? Don't we need that in our education system?
Yeah.
Don't we need that in our political system?
Yeah.
And that's where joy and peace, like all of us want peace. People are seeking out peace. And all of that is connected. And this is actually why you are, if people want to say you're successful or why I am successful, it's only connected because they see our fruit. And they want in on that. And so you might see false fruit that when you get into the midst of that vine, you realize that it's not good for you. There's no sustenance. It's dead. And you, everything that you apply from their teaching doesn't work.
You and I have been there. Girl.
Been there. And yeah. I want to bear witness to the fact that we've been there. So first off, that there's other people who have sat in that place with you before. And then to know again that there is hope on the other side of it. And there is actually a community, a kingdom of people who are existing here on earth to see you glorify God in your story and to see the prosperity and abundance come to fullness of the multiplication factor that God has promised for you.
Really want to see you. Not saying to see you for their benefit, but they want to see you for his benefit.
Yes.
Girl, yes. Yeah. If anybody gets in your way as a sister, I'm going army. Like, oh,
and
not.
That is
like,
the thing.
You got a thing. Like, I'm like, stay out of her way. Like, girl, it is absolutely powerful, which is probably Miss Entrepreneur, the Fit podcast. I'm curious because you said we talked about addiction. And as soon as you said, you were talking about fitness, Fit and Faith podcast, it's like amazing. It's the top like 2-1% podcast. I immediately, when I thought Fit and Faith, I was curious because I don't get the fit thing. Like you're girl, you look good, but like, I know your message and your mission. I'm like, what is she doing? So I am absolutely intrigued when you talk about addiction and fitness addiction and how that really brought you into the Fit and Faith podcast. And I'm like, tell me more.
Yes.
You know, so it's a problem. I need to know this, girl.
So in my young 20s, and honestly, forever, my parents were both athletes. They were both like original Gold's Gym rats back in the day in California, which is now One Life Fitness, if you're familiar with One Life. They brought fitness to the East Coast in Virginia. They're both marathon runners. They're lifters. They're freaking awesome. And so I was a gymnast for 16 years, and gymnastics connected to your physical fitness, plus all the other stuff that I was telling you was happening in the shadows of my life. My body was my vessel. But this is before I knew vessel as what God calls it to be a vessel. And so I was very conscientious of how I looked and how I operated in my body. I was a really good dancer. So there was that element of sexuality connected to that. I then, after school, I was a business major. I knew immediately I was going to go into business, and we started businesses right out of school. But I also was a personal trainer and nutrition coach. And my clients were all in their mid-40s and 50s. Now, I had no relatability at this point, obviously. I had never had kids, and so my body didn't look like theirs. I had never gone through menopause, so my body didn't look like theirs. I'm this young girl, and meanwhile, I'm telling them like, oh, you're so beautiful. You can be confident. Let's get your tummy tight, right? It's crazy. Now, it wasn't I know, but that is an unrealistic element, and it is where people put so much of their emphasis. They're willing to put money towards a personal trainer, but they're not willing to do it for mental health. They're willing to put it towards their Botox and their brows and their hair, but they're not willing to put it towards their spirit man. Yeah. And this is literally a catastrophic scenario that's going to explode in the world. And I'm afraid to see, and I'm not anti-Botox, I'm not anti-personal trainer.
No, I know. Yeah, it's just a lot of surface.
Like, it's just crazy.
Girl, I wish I could tell you the new title of my book.
I can't wait to hear it. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. So what happened was when I went through all of this revelation and this massive tombstone moment of recognizing that I'm not going to have entrepreneur on my gravestone. Okay. I'm a bad to the bone businesswoman, but that ain't going to be there. Ooh. I want to be a killer wife. I want to be an amazing, loving mom, and I want to be a child of God that precedes both of those places. I am his first. It's actually tattooed on my ring finger. God got me first, then my husband gets me. And that is way more important to me. And so at that time, though, because of the gross amounts of shame that I was carrying, I couldn't look myself in the mirror. And so I literally brushed my teeth in my bedroom, not in front of the mirror, for about 30 days. And when I finally came back into like, okay, I'm getting a little bit more, I'm fully seen, I'm fully known, I'm still loved. I'm able to actually have conversations a bit with my therapist. I'm recognizing that my husband is not leaving me. My anxiety and my suicidal ideation is slowly diminishing. I still couldn't look men in the eyes for about 2 years. Mm. And my body, though, was used to be very focused oriented. I had a really hard time working out. One, because I was going to a gym that the music is horrendous. What we listen to in our ears is just as raunchy and nasty as the pornography magazines that I was watching and looking at when I was little. They're horrible. And I know every single word to every single one of them because I hung out in the clubs, right? So apple bottom jeans, you know, I can do it, right?
Girl, I can't even go back when I was like Tupac, like still influences me, okay?
So I'm there and I'm like, what am I doing this for? I cannot focus. I'm like trying to be a good baby Christian. I'm like, Jesus, 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 I can still work out. I can still be in this space. And it was really difficult. It was difficult for me to understand, okay, if my body is a vessel and I am female, what does a vessel for Christ look like, not a vessel for the glory of man? Ooh. What does that look like? And how will I feel in my body? How will I feel in my body? Not what will I look like? Not what will my pants fit like? Not what will my scale look like? How will I feel? And if I want to be a freaking army warrior, like we are just talking about, like we are on the front lines of his calling, of his mission, I've got to be strong. I've got to have endurance. I've got to have resilience. I've got to know that anything that I can come up against, I can run faster, think faster, be more agile. I want to play with my babies in the process. I want to have great sex with my husband in the process. I want to still dance for the glory of the Lord. I want to go running on the beach. I want to be able to travel and breathe in the process. I want to be fierce. And so when Fit and Faith evolved, I was still in the struggle of how do I do that? And it was mind, body, and soul alignment that I knew would be the key to my unlock and everything else God was calling me to do. I had to have them all connected. So mentally, I stopped going to those places where I couldn't listen to that music. I've literally been free of secular music for almost 6 years. I stopped drinking about 3.5 years ago now. And I don't mean that in like prude. And I don't mean that I can't still go to a brewery with my friends.
Right.
But for me, my conviction, God calling me higher was don't go to those places. Don't listen to those things. Don't watch that stuff. Don't go to those movies. Don't do that because that is an immediate trigger towards your flesh that then has your mind in all the spaces it shouldn't be. And I don't want that for anybody who's listening to this show.
Yeah, I love, love, love that you touched on that. I wrote it down just now. God calls you higher. Mm-hmm. And I believe, think about it. Like when we were baby Christians, that stuff didn't affect us.
Nope.
Think about it. But God's like, hey, I called you to this. We're going to stop a few things. Things that I'm convicted about now, shows, music, environments, songs. A couple years ago, I wasn't even thinking about them. And I was all up in the church and feeling the spirit. But God now is like, no, subscriptions I've had to cancel. Yeah. Like, and I'm just like, a part of me was wrestling with that. That's how I knew it was a problem too.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're not willing to release it. Yeah.
That's how you know. That's the discernment and the conviction, by the way, right? Like, wouldn't you agree? Like,
100%.
You want to know if God wants you to stop something. The fact that you don't, he does.
Yep. Every single
time. That sucks, man. Like that's being real that like, I'm like, ooh, I don't want to stop it, God. But that in itself was like, that's how much power it has over me.
Yep. And I think there's an element, and I'm just going to get real here real quick, as I have been the whole time, but that's connected to masturbation. That's connected to shopping. Are you addicted to Amazon more than you are addicted to getting in the word? Like, I want to know those things.
When you're sad, what do you go do?
100%. Do you eat? I was definitely addicted to food and sugars, right?
Yeah.
Or you go work out and you're like, oh, well, this is healthy. So I'm going to go work out and I'm going to be really, really, really healthy. And then it's good for me. No, like we should be running to our face.
Face.
come on. Yeah. Now my sacred space and my husband knows is like, I'm going to go take a bath. I'm going to go listen to worship music.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
That's what fills us.
Every morning I turn on worship music for my kids.
Yes.
Or like when they're cranky. And yep. I want to expose them at that age.
Yes.
But like, you know, like when they're cranky, you know, it's the morning. I have a teenager now. I turn on worship music and I'm like, this is what you need to do. Okay. We're doing it for the Lord.
Yep. Yep. Let's reset.
Oh my gosh. It's been so great to have you. I believe I want to have you back on. I am so excited. Would you tell everybody where to find you? Fit in Faith podcast. You have a book coming out called The Joyful Entrepreneur. It'll be out in October. I'm most likely going to share this just between me and you, like in October, just kind of put it up there. And then you have a book already, bestseller, Always Becoming. You get really raw, you get really real and relatable, which brings them to the Father. I just absolutely love you. I'm so honored to have you on here. And it's just absolutely, just from a personal level, it's beautiful because I was always drawn to you. Like I, you know, like for me and likewise, just the, how yeah. God brought us together and the similar mission, cancel the competition, yes. right? Walk in the confidence for your calling in Christ. And I just love how he has done that here in sisterhood because I'm over here. I'm like fighting for you. I'm like, if anybody gets in the way of what God is doing in her, girl, you call me right now. Like,
I will
get them out of the way. Like,
I'm like, okay. Let's go. And guys, I'm so excited because she'll be on my podcast soon too. So we're going to just swap and you guys are going to get to have her in the hot seat and truly tune in. Cause I'm excited as we're obviously have so much symmetry in what has transpired in our lives, but also the call on our lives. And that's why I know it's God. And this is why it's so beautiful to be in that space of confidently and bolstering somebody else's calling because it's all connected and it all has reciprocation. And God is like, he's so up in it when there is so much symmetry in the messaging. And so don't stop that. Let him do his thing and see what happens. And so you guys can hang out with me on Instagram. I've got my TikTok rolling now. It's not like Ashley's, but I'm working on it.
Oh, Instagram. You are killing it.
It's so fun. But yeah, I love to actually DM with people and voice memo with people on Instagram. So surely reach out. We actually have our own app. It's called the Fit in Faith Network app. And it's got a ton of free resources on there for women. And there's courses that come out every single month. So there's an additional aspect of that. But joyful entrepreneurship is my jam. So as you were listening, if you're like, I don't just have a good idea, I've got a God idea. And I want to put it all on the line. I help publish books. I help make your podcast. I do a ton. It's so much fun. And I just do it for him because at the end of the day, like it could all go away. And if my legacy is just in this shame story and this podcast, I've done my work today and I can go to sleep peacefully knowing, well done, my good and faithful servant. I've used my body as a vessel in this moment. And you as a listener are doing the exact same thing by fueling your mind with Ashley's podcast and understanding all of these different layers that she teaches you. It will help you transform. He is the ultimate transformer, but she's literally giving you access to how he transformed her. And that is vulnerability in the best kind of way, because you can sink your teeth into that truth. And that's just literally the sprinkles on the top, because there's so much more sweetness for you when you get into the word and you get into the Holy Spirit presence. So good. Ashley, you're incredible. Thanks for having me.
You're incredible. I have to ask you a random question.
Okay.
I'm over here about to cry. Just because I love Jesus. And it's just like, I feel the mission so passionately. And so I'm just like, yes, I really want you guys to know Jesus the way we do.
It's so the best. It is.
But really quick, you don't watch a lot of TV, but what are you watching anything? Do you have a favorite movie? Like what is something that is like super fun where you just are in it. Like you just do it. Like,
so I have to be honest, like literally even like Netflix and all of that, I really don't watch it, but two things that I got so into, and I can't wait for the next season to come out of The Chosen, which is like such a Christian response. Right. But I never seen the Bible brought to life in this way. I mean, right. It's freaking awesome. It's right. so
It always
good.
Gives me goosebumps every time.
Oh, and then right? I'll say from a mama's perspective, because I do watch like stuff with the kids, and this is kind of our rule. They're allowed to watch anything with animals and nature, anything that's cooking oriented, and anything that's athletic or science. So in any of those shows, like we watch American Ninja Warrior together as a family. We'll watch some of the baking shows together as a family. But one that we love on the way to school is Superbook, which is broadcasted by CBN. And it is such a good show for the kids because right before they go to school, they get to see a real world scenario unfold. Yes. And then it premises it in the biblical story. And it's a cartoon, but my kids are 7 and 9 and they absolutely love it.
We have all like when it was like the movie series, like the yes. deep. My son was watching it at 3 years old. We love
Oh my
it.
Gosh. It's I didn't so, even know so about it. Like a couple years ago, someone introduced me to it. I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty great.
Like, so it's a Christian response. It's not that I used to watch, I would say back in the day, if you asked Tamara that question, my husband and I used to watch The Bachelorette and The Bachelor, and he used to make me like charcuterie boards with our Aww. Budget charcuterie board, which was like ripping the cheese and ripping this turkey and ham. Now our charcuteries look a lot better. Thank you, Jesus, for the multiplication factor. But we do not watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. We make our own stories and our own date nights. And
I used to watch that too. And it just made me angry.
Right?
I was like,
well, it's so unrealistic. It's so terrible.
Like, people just want to be famous.
So. Yeah. And sometimes that works, but it's not intentional. And there are some people, I think, is it Maddie Prue? Is that the gal who was on it? Is that the gal? Do you follow her?
No. Oh, the Christian.
Yeah. The Christian. See?
Well, you know what I'm saying. Well, she was very, like, most boldest Christians on that show.
I know. So like, I follow her.
No, God, don't really talk about it. But she was like,
she's a preacher. She is all up in the mission of the Lord.
Telling the truth, man.
Yeah.
Like, and she's like a basketball, like, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, now it's rad that that's there, but I agree that let's stay in the realistic elements of our faith, not our flesh. And that is a flesh show. So faith, y'all.
Realistic elements of our faith, not our flesh. So good.
Love you so much, Ashley. Thank you for this time.
Did you enjoy that? I'd love to see you over at ashleyhamnerat.com, where you can subscribe to this podcast and channel on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And while you're at it, I'd love to see the value that you found in Confidence and Coffee. So drop the ratings, the reviews, in the comments. Plus, subscribe to this channel and tell a friend too. Make sure you tune in next time on Confidence and Coffee.